Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in, or perhaps you found the program. I want to tell you that I am Father Cedric Pazegna. I am a passionist priest and a religious, and we have a wonderful dedication to the cross of Jesus, to the passion of Jesus. We meditate upon his passion and his love for us. And we passionists are located in 60 countries throughout the world and in many different places here in the United States. This particular program is being broadcast to you from Houston, Texas, in this beautiful chapel that we have here at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston. But I wanted to let you know about one of our monasteries in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm on TV in Scranton. There's a Catholic TV station there that broadcasts my program, and I've met so many people there in Scranton. And I wanted to tell you that every year they have what's called a novena to St. Anne at that monastery in Scranton. Thousands of people come. They are bused from Pittsburgh, New York, and the surrounding areas, and thousands of people come to every day of that novena. It's a very beautiful. There's five services a day, about 1,000 people at every service. Well, I had the privilege of preaching at that novena, and the people were everywhere. What you're about to see is the 8:30 service in the morning. It was the first service of the day. People brought their lawn chairs and they sat out in the hot July sun. But they came because they wanted to hear the Word of God. And they came because they wanted to worship God. So we're going to go to the recorded live preaching now. Stay tuned. And I pray that this will inspire you and touch your heart. So I want to tell you about a little eagle's egg that was taken out of its nest, and it was put into the chicken coop. And it was put in with all the little chicken eggs, and they were together incubated, and they all hatched together. And as they hatched, the little eaglet came out of the shell, and all it saw was little chicks. So, you know, it looked around and saw what they were doing, and so it ate like a chicken and talked like a chicken and walked like a chicken. He thought it was a chicken. He was an eagle, but he didn't know it. Well, one day he was in the barnyard and he looked up and above was this beautiful eagle and it was soaring and so majestic and so glorious. And he thought to himself, wow, I'd love to be like that eagle. But he looked around and all he saw was chickens. He said, that's never going to happen. So he just kept walking like a chicken, talking like a chicken, and eating like a chicken. Well, the next day, this big storm blew into the barnyard, and I mean just wind, like a gale of wind just rushing into the barnyard. All the chickens, they all flapped their wings and ran for cover. That's why they call you a chicken, you know, because they were afraid. And they just took off. But the eagle instinct took over. And I mean, when the wind hit it, it didn't run. It stood there, and it stood against the storm. And the storm forced open its wings. And all of a sudden, it began to elevate and to rise. And at first it was afraid because it was just a chicken, but then his instinct took over. He started to exercise his wings, and he started going higher and higher, and the storm actually lifted him up into the thermal currents. And then as he was up real high and he was looking down at everything, he had this gracious realization that after all, he wasn't a chicken, he was an eagle, and he soared and became who he was meant to be. I want to tell you something this morning. You're not a chicken. You're an eagle. Now, you may live with chickens. You may live with turkeys. You may live with crows or vultures. I don't know. But I can tell you this. You are meant to soar. And I can tell you that you're an eagle because you have living within you the one who lifts us up on eagle wings. And that, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And not only are you an eagle, gracious, majestic, full of potential, God in you. Not only are you an eagle, the Bible calls you a saint. You may not know that. You know, we're celebrating the feast day of St. Anne. We know about the canonized saints, But what about the fact that you are a saint now? What am I talking about when I talk about the Bible? Well, for example, when Paul the Apostle would write the Romans, he'd say, to the saints at Rome. When he'd write the Corinthians, to the saints at Corinth. When he'd write to the Ephesians, to the saints at Ephesus. Now, they didn't all have their act together. They weren't all perfectly holy. But they were saints. And why were they saints? Because they were consecrated by the blood of Jesus, set apart for God, separated from evil. They weren't perfect, but they were filled with God's Spirit. It's God's Spirit that makes us holy. So I want you to understand something. We're celebrating a great feast day of St. Anne and St. Joachim, but they aren't the only saints. And all the canonized saints aren't the only saints. And All Saints Day, we celebrate multitudes of people, unknown to everybody, who are saints of God. And why are they saints? Again, because the Holy One, the Spirit of God, lives in them. They may have lived among chickens, and they may have had turkeys in their life, but they're saints. I want to clear something up to you. People have been asking me a few things about my life, and since this is the last day, let me just share a few things. And one of them is, hey, Father, you've been telling us that you're from Massachusetts. How come you don't have that accent? Well, I have to let you know, in Massachusetts, I grew up in western Massachusetts, Springfield and Agawam. There's a big dialect line that runs right through Worcester. Worcester's in the middle of the state. There's Boston, Worcester, and Springfield. I grew up in Springfield. See, in Springfield, we park our cars, and in Boston, they park the cars. So I don't have the dialect, but just to let you know, I still am from Massachusetts. And the other thing is, people have been asking me about my name. They said, Father Cedric, you know, what is that name? What nationality are you anyway? Well, first of all, my first name, Cedric, is English, but it comes from an Italian name, Cesidio. That was my dad's first name. I'm a junior. And my last name is Pizzegna, and my dad was 100% Italian. And by the way, when they say Cedric, they go, where'd you get that name Cedric? I told you, from Cesidio. They go, is there a Saint Cedric? I go, not yet. But there's one in the making. There's one in the making. Come on. I'm talking about saints this morning. So then that last name Pizzegna is Italian. So my dad was 100% Italian, but my mom, get this. My mom, of all things, Czechoslovakian and Albanian. Imagine a mixture like that. Take a bowl, pour in Italian, sprinkle in Czech and Albanian. This is what you get. So here I was 8 years ago, and I'm studying in Rome. And it was a beautiful sabbatical year for me, and I was studying all scripture and all these different things. Make a long story short, my mom came over with a friend of hers, and it was right on the beatification. This was 8 years ago, the beatification of Mother Teresa. And if you know anything about Mother Teresa, she was Albanian. And here's my Albanian mother, perfect timing. And we went to the beatification. This is the first step for sainthood. And I mean, we were at St. Peter's Square, if you've ever been there. It was an outdoor ceremony. There was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people at this beatification ceremony. I mean, all of St. Peter's Square was full. People went all the way back to the Tiber River. And they had this big banner whenever they beatify or canonize a saint. They have a banner of their portrait, their picture. And here's Mother Teresa, you know, all hunched over. You know, she was a very short woman. She all wrinkly face. You know, she kind of looked. This isn't what our world would venerate. You know, our culture. What does our culture venerate? Young, sports, good-looking, rich, healthy, strong. So here's this little bent-over woman with all these wrinkles and everything. And, you know, and everybody, hundreds of thousands, millions of people are all there watching by TV and everything. People loved her. And why is that? Because she touched people. You know, to be a saint is not that hard. I told you, it's first of all by grace, the Holy Spirit. But then you respond to grace by touching people. I remember the story she wrote in one of her books. It's called One Heart Full of Love. She tells about a man who came into her home for the sick and the dying. You know, she raised up the Sisters of Charity. And here they are, you know, attending to the sick and the dying. This man came in there, and he sees what happens. They pull in a man from the street covered with worms, and one of the sisters works with him and takes a sponge and bathes him and touches him and caresses his body to give him the dignity to die. And the man goes up to Mother Teresa and he says, Mother, he says, I have to tell you something here. I came in here today. I was so angry and so full of hate. I didn't believe in God. And I came in here to talk with you, and I saw that sister caressing that wretched man and touching him and loving him. And he said, I saw God's love
and the anger has gone away. I am changed. So what is it to be a saint, folks? Not that hard. You touch people. And we're concluding our novena today. What are we hoping that you're going to do when you leave? Touch people. That's what makes you a saint. I used to love to go to Assisi when I was over in Italy. I've led pilgrimages there. It's one of my favorite places because I have to tell you, though, although I'm a Passionist and I love St. Paul of the Cross, I am a closet Franciscan. My first saint, my saint that I really love, is St. Francis of Assisi, and I'm sure many of you do too. He's a beautiful saint, very simple man, lived to be about 45 years old, very short man, had big ears. You know, he wasn't all that good looking. He wasn't a priest, by the way. Most people don't know this. St. Francis of Assisi was a deacon. He didn't think he was worthy to be a priest. Well, anyway, just to let you know, one day he was praying before the crucifix in a little dilapidated church called San Damiano's in Assisi. He's praying before this Byzantine crucifix, and as he's praying, remember how we began our retreat, our novena together? We were talking about passion, the passion of Christ brings passion for Christ. Well, he's a man that meditated on the passion so deeply that he bore the stigmata, the very wounds of Christ. And one day as he's meditating on the crucifix, he heard something, and he saw the lips of Jesus move. And what he heard was, "Francis, go." That's the Great Commission, by the way. "Go." That's what I'm hoping you're going to do after this novena. "Go, repair my house that's falling into ruin." So he heard that voice, and he meditated, and he looked around at the Church of San Damiano, dilapidated. You know what he did? He stole some of his father's money. His father was a rich merchant. He took some of his father's money, and he got to work repairing the dilapidated San Damiano's. Then it occurred to him, you know what? When Jesus said, "Go repair my house," he wasn't talking about brick and mortar. He was talking about flesh and blood. That's what was in ruins. That's what needed to be repaired. He went out into the streets, the piazzas, and he preached the gospel about a personal relationship with Jesus, about being filled with the Holy Spirit, about being touched by the grace of God, and people were converted. And my wonderful hope for you, and this is what makes you a saint, is that you spend time before the crucifix. You listen to Jesus speaking to you, and you go. That's the Great Commission we hear at the end of every Mass. Go in peace and love to serve the Lord and each other. And then, of course, I remember we're talking about saints now, and it's not all that hard to be one. You touch people, you go, you pray before a crucifix. Then, of course, I remember back in 1993, as I went to the largest Mass I've ever been to. That was at Cherry Creek State Park in Denver. It was World Youth Day 18 years ago, and Pope John Paul II came for this huge outdoor Mass, attended by estimates of 500,000 to a million people. They're not quite sure. They couldn't count them all. And many of them were teenagers. And I had just been ordained a priest 2 years prior, and I was one of 3,000 priests right before the altar. It was very beautiful. Well, as you know, in May of this year, John Paul II, our beloved former pope, has been beatified also, and he's on the track toward canonization, toward sainthood. And he's a beloved pope. I mean, people were being converted at his death, watching it on TV. And, you know, we all loved him and his pronouncements about the new evangelization and going out and proclaiming the good news to all that we can. That's what I try to do on TV and writing and preaching. Well, anyway, Pope John Paul II said something very interesting during that Mass. He challenged all the young people that were there, and as I said, hundreds of thousands of them. He challenged all the young people. He said, "Don't be afraid." He said, and that was the theme of his pontificate, "Fear not. Don't be afraid," he said. "Go out on the streets like St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel." I remember what St. Francis said. He said, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." And I really like that because it's the example of our life that really matters. And so the Pope said, "Don't be ashamed of the gospel," and I'll never forget this, "be proud of the gospel. Be proud of your faith. Be proud of the people that brought it to you. Be proud of the heritage that you have." And I remember I was over in Egypt, and I was studying over there, Israel, Egypt, Greece, learned the Bible over there. When I was over there, you know, we get off the bus and all the kids would realize that we're Americans. They all thought we had a lot of money. And they'd come running up to us with their hands extended. And they'd go, "Bakshish, bakshish, bakshish." And that's a word, I guess, in Arabic that means that they want alms. They want money. But you know what it literally means? Share the wealth. Now, when it comes to going and touching people and proclaiming the gospel, we're not trying to beat people over the head with it. We're not trying to force them to become like we are. We're not trying to do anything to anybody that's hard. What we're trying to do is this: share the wealth that we have as Catholic Christians. And what is the wealth that we have? A personal relationship with Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, an eternity with God in heaven to look forward to. We are infinitely wealthy. We have the treasure beyond treasure, the pearl of great price. And how right and good it is for us to share that wealth. I want to thank all of you who have supported my ministry and helped me to share the wealth by buying my books and my resources this week. As you know, I've been selling out. We've got a UPS truck coming any minute now with 7 boxes that I've had overnighted at a cost of over $1,000 to try to get those books here. Many of you have signed up for it. Thank you. The books will be here a little bit later today, 10 a.m. or so. If you haven't bought a book yet, come on down, sign up for it. We'll have them here a little later today. Thank you, because that supports me and my TV programs, to be able to reach out. Those of you watching by TV, and you buy my books, my resources, that gives me the money I need to reach out even further, to buy time in different cities, so that I can share the wealth. I'm not looking for fame and fortune. I'm looking to proclaim the gospel of Jesus in a personal relationship, eternal life with Him. Every one of you have been so encouraging to Bishop Neal and myself. And I so want to thank you for that. I mean, you've grabbed my arm and pulled me aside and thanked me for my talks and how wonderful this novena has been. And both Bishop Neal and I have felt so supported. And since this is my last time with you, I just want to tell you how I will never forget this experience, and I will never forget you, your piety, your devotion, your faith. I feel like I've been adopted. You know, my mom is down there in Florida, and you know, she may be a little jealous about this, but I have to tell you, you have adopted me into your family. I so appreciate that. I feel like your son, and thank you, thank you, thank you for that. By the way, since you've adopted me, if you want to write me into your will, my name is Cedric Pizania. You know, spell that correctly, right? But anyway, I know I'm going a little long here. The TV folks are just going to have to hold on. So I'm heading to Houston tomorrow, heading back to Houston. It's 100 degrees there. We don't have any rain. So please pray for us to get some rain. And then I'm going to be back and doing some more TV work. You'll be getting the new programs. I want you to know that the TV program, the times have changed. Many people have come up to me, "Father Cedric, where's your program? What happened to it?" It's on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday now here on Channel 12. So look for it at that time, especially Thursday night at 9:30 on Channel 12, okay? So they haven't taken me off. The times have just changed. And then, you know, those of you today, come on down, order some books. That'll really support me. I really appreciate it. My last story is this. We've talked about sainthood. And I've told you, there's canonized saints, but there's also all of us who are saints because of our belief in Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us saints. You're the saints not in Rome or Ephesus or Colossae. You're the saints of Scranton. And I remember one time a little girl and her mother went into church to pray, and she was 12 years old, and they knelt down and they started to pray. And she looked over on the church, one of the stained glass windows, and she sees a depiction of St. Anne, very beautiful colored stained glass window. And she looks at her mother and she goes, "Mommy, what's a saint?" And the mother looked at the window and, you know, how do you tell a little girl what a saint is in just a few words? So she was struggling. Just at that moment, a cloud moved, and the sun came out and poured through that window. And that window danced with color as St. Anne was lit up by the sunlight. And this beam went right through her. And the little girl looked at it. She smiled, and she looked at her mother. She goes, "Mommy, I know what a saint is. A saint is a person who lets the light shine through." And the light is shining, folks. Touch people. Go, repair my house that's falling into ruin. Share the wealth, but most of all, let the light shine through.
Always remember that. No matter who you're living with or whatever people surround you, you are really a holy one of God. You are a saint of God. Now, the strict sense of being a saint is the canonized saints, as I said, St. Thomas or St. Paul of the Cross, St. Francis of Assisi. But there's a wider sense. Remember, when Paul wrote his communities, the church at Rome or church at Colossae, the church at Ephesus, he called them saints. He said, to the saints at Rome. Now, those people weren't all perfect, but they were believers, and that's what makes you a saint. You're a believer, you're separated from evil, and God works in you. And then also, all of us, I believe, are saints, as we're believers. The Bible says in 1 John that we are the children of God now. That's 1 John chapter 3. It's a beautiful reading. We have it on All Saints Day. We are God's children now, and if we're his child, we're his holy one. We're his saints. I think about some of the people, you know, on All Saints Day. Nobody knows about them. Your grandparents, relatives, friends, holy people who weren't chickens, but were eagles. And they lived beautiful, gracious lives. Think about my dad, you know, and his integrity and the way he lived and his honesty, his generosity, the way he treated me with respect all the time. You know, we had his funeral. I had his funeral on All Saints Day. And I don't think that was just a coincidence. So I want to let you know that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. That's what the Bible says. That's something in the Catholic Church, we call it the communion of saints. There's a deep mysticism here. And there's a great cloud of witnesses rooting us on in our journey to persevere and to keep pressing on. And that cloud of witnesses includes saints like St. Catherine of Siena and St. Francis of Assisi, but it also includes the Old Testament people, such as Hebrews chapter 11. We hear about Noah and Abraham and Abel and Jacob and Moses and Joseph and Gideon and David and all those people. The interesting thing is, all those people, they were great people, but they weren't perfect people. For example, did you know Jacob was a cheater? David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Paul was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossiper. Moses was a stutterer. Jeremiah thought he was too young. Martha was a busybody. Thomas, a doubter. Gideon, insecure. Sarah, impatient. Elijah, moody. Zacchaeus, short. Abraham, old. And Lazarus was dead. But God used them. You know, they weren't perfect, but God used them. And what's stopping you from being great and living with passion and living flat out from God? Yeah, you know, we all have brokenness and humanness and foibles and fears and sins and different things like that. Well, you know, look at the apostles. They denied Jesus, betrayed Jesus, didn't understand Jesus, but God used them and worked through them. And he'll work through you too. That's, to me, is what sainthood is. You're a believer, you persevere, and you allow God to use you and to touch people. And that's something beautiful. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. It's the communion of saints. And I want you to picture yourself in a stadium, and you're living your life and journeying on. And this great cloud of witnesses is rooting you on, spurring you on, praying for you, encouraging you. What would they say to us? Moses would say, I overcame stuttering and I spoke to Pharaoh, and you can speak to the people in your life about God. What would David say? I slew my giant and you can slay yours. Don't give up. Joseph would say, I dream dreams and realize the promise, and you can dream your dreams and fulfill your destiny. What would Abraham say? I believed in God's promises even when it didn't seem like they could ever come to be, and they happened. You can believe in God's promise for your life and see it happen also. Rahab the prostitute would say, it's not how you start that matters, it's how you finish. And then Job would say, everything went wrong for me, but God was in control. And even when things go wrong for you, remember, God is in control. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fire and God was with them. And maybe you're in a fire right now and they'd be telling us, God is with you. And Lazarus would say, I died, but God raised me. Whatever's dead in you, he'll raise up too. So we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses encouraging us, rooting us on. Remember, you are not a chicken. You're an eagle. Don't be sore, but soar and live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.